T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Spent a lot of time at the Sports Bar this afternoon talking about our local teams, Rochester Red Wings, RIT Tigers, Rochester Amherst. Let's talk some Buffalo Bills football. It's a bye week. Doesn't mean Marcel Louis-Jacques isn't working. Covering the Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation. Marcel, good with his time every Wednesday here in the Sports Bar. How are you, Marcel?
I am good, man. I'm cold, I'll tell you that. But doing well, getting some needed, we can call it rest. But let's be honest, this league does not rest.
No, while we're getting on the air here, I should just share this little tidbit. Like, Marcel says he's down in Orchard Park. I'm like, oh, wait, something going on today? We missing something? No, you just don't like writing at home. I think a lot of other writers can kind of relate to you there, Marcel.
It's a mindset thing, man. That's why, you know, working out at home is tough. Working period from home is tough. There's so many distractions, man. And I like to drive somewhere, getting in the mentality like, okay, we're going to sit down, get to business, and sure enough, pumped it out. So cleared up my next day and a half.
Good stuff. Marcel, let's talk a little bit about the news that's breaking today from around the NFL that all 32 teams are going to operate the rest of the season under intensive protocol. How much of a difference is that going to make for the Bills when they return from their bye? Have they been pretty strict with their protocol up to this point? Yes, right?
Yeah, they are, and the Bills are and have been one of the more proactive teams in the league when it comes to, you know, staying safe and masking up and social distancing and so on and so forth, to the point where, like you said before, this is their bye week, but it's different in the fact that nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's leaving the city, the state. No one, you know, they're trying to remain as healthy as possible, because as Sean McDermott told us the other day, from their understanding, a lot of teams come back from their bye and register several positive COVID-19 tests. So, you know, they're already in intensive care to some extent. But what it does mean is that locker room use is basically frowned upon, except for game day. All meetings are either going to be virtual or outdoors, which, I mean, it's Buffalo in November, so outdoors pretty out of the question. And mask wearing throughout the facility is more strictly enforced. And there has been a rise in the NFL in positive cases, just like there has been a rise in cases nationally. So it's not too surprising that the league would issue a 32-team mandate in response to all this.
So normally during the bye week, Marcel, this is an opportunity for players just to get out of town, go see. That's not possible. Are Bills players welcome back in the facility? Can they use the new training center? How does that all work this week for the Bills?
From my understanding, yes, they can. And just based on my trips to the facility, there are players who have been there both days this week. But another reason they can't really go anywhere is they've got to be tested every day. And, you know, it's in order to be in that facility, you do need multiple negative tests in a row. So, you know, taking some days away from that would be counterintuitive to being allowed once practice time comes. And I don't think Sean McDermott would be too happy if any player can't be allowed in the facility because they left the state or they went to a high-risk area during the bye week.
Hey, Marcel, want to go back to Monday and some comments made by Sean McDermott after that disappointing loss in the desert, specifically about Mitch Morse. And I want to get your take on what not only what he said about Morse being active but not playing. I mean, he didn't call it a benching, but I don't know what it would be if it isn't a benching. And what this means moving forward for the Buffalo Bills. Your thoughts on McDermott's comments for Monday?
That was so weirdly cryptic. And so unnecessarily cryptic from McDermott. And he usually, you know, doesn't like to lay all his cards out on the table. So I understand that it's not completely out of character here. But, I mean, if he's not healthy enough to play, you can probably say that. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Morse maybe wasn't comfortable playing or the team wasn't comfortable playing him, given his concussion history, and they wanted to give him another week off. And essentially 2 weeks away from contact like that. Because that's the only thing that makes sense. From a football standpoint, this is not a better offensive line when John Feliciano has to play center instead of Mitch Morse and Butker's got to play left guard. No matter how much momentum they said that they had with that group over the past couple games, that's just the fact of the matter. You paid Mitch Morse $10 million a year because he is the best center on the team, and the line is better when he plays center. So I don't think it's a matter of him being benched, and I don't think he's the type of personality to break the rules or to be disciplined and benched for that reason. So I think it's a health thing, and Sean McDermott does have a tendency to try to keep his players' health under as many wraps as possible, and you know, so if Morse is not comfortable playing through his concussion yet, or he's not comfortable taking the field yet, this would be, you know, it wouldn't make sense for McDermott to try to kind of cover it up like that. But it just, I don't know if that explanation was practiced at all, because like I said, it just came off as so unnecessarily cryptic.
Yeah, usually McDermott is, you know, pretty good when dealing with this stuff. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, joining us here in the sports bar. So this is one of those losses, Marcel, where it's Wednesday and we're still talking about it. Final play aside, let's push that to the side. If I had to ask you the question, what were the reasons why the Buffalo Bills lost this game, aside from that last play, how would you answer that question?
I think it starts off with the third quarter struggles. I tweeted the stat earlier in the week. The Bills are plus 51 in point margin in the first half, and they're only plus 7 period overall. And the reason is why is because they are minus 46 in the third quarter. They are consistently outplayed after halftime, and trying to explain why is a little difficult. The only one I can come to, the only conclusion I can come to, is that because they play so well in that first half, it's hard to pinpoint what drastic adjustments they need to make. Like the major adjustments kind of fall on their opponents, and it's taken them longer than it should to counteract those halftime adjustments. That's something that needs to be fixed over the bye week, and it's something that hurt them dramatically on Sunday. But just going into specifics, Buffalo's offense somewhat disappeared in the third and fourth quarter, especially in that fourth quarter. Outside of that 78-yard scoring drive, the Bills ran, it was something like 10 plays for 30 yards. I mean, it was turnover, three and out. And you can't have that, especially when that defense was playing as well as it was in the second half. And like you said, final play aside, the defense forced 2 3-and-outs and a turnover on the Cardinals' first three drives of the fourth quarter. They played well enough to put Buffalo's offense in position to put the game away, and the Bills couldn't do it on that side of the ball. And lastly, special teams does not get out of this scot-free. And you don't usually make a habit of blaming that side of the ball, but when you look at Andre Roberts' first two kick returns of the half, he didn't get any of them past, I don't think, the 15-yard line. That set the offense back to begin with. And then Corey Bojorquez's 12-yard punt can't happen when you're playing in a dome. It can't happen ever, but it really can't happen when you're playing in perfect conditions like they were. So, I mean, it was a three-pronged effort as to why they lost, and it still came down to a Hail Mary 1-in-100 type play for them to lose the game.
Marcel, I want to talk about two things that I know that they're going to try to adjust here over the course of their bye week, and that's their run game and their ability to stop the run defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, is it just a matter of we haven't seen the Bills' best five on the offensive line together yet this year, and that's the key to unlocking Singletary and Moss and some success in the run game? And as far as the run defense goes, I mean, it was another kind of putrid effort against Arizona, and A.J. Klein has shown up, but we still see chunk plays happening. I mean, you have Kenyon Drake going for 100 yards, which, you know, listen, at some point, this defense is going to have to stop the run, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to find a way to fortify the middle of their defense, because they're just like they were during that stretch last season. They are getting gashed on inside zone runs, and they don't have the bodies. They don't have the one technique defensive tackle, the run and space stuffer. They don't have that kind of player anymore without Star Lotulelei. And that's, after 10 games, it's kind of obvious that this is their defense now. Like, it's not, you can't add anybody. The trade deadline's done. You've got to figure this out somehow. And that's what I think is going to be another focal point for them of the bye week, is finding ways to manufacture some support in the middle of their defense. But from an offensive standpoint, yeah, I do think it's as simple as they've been playing this entire season with at least two or three offensive linemen who were brought in to be reserves. And once they get someone like Cody Ford next to Deion Dawkins, that projects to be a strong run-blocking unit. Once they get Mitch Morris healthy, they put John Feliciano back at right guard and next to a guy in Darrell Williams who is having an outstanding season. I think this is a substantially improved offensive line for Buffalo, and I think the run game benefits from that. But it's kind of weird because the Bills are so obviously a pass-first offense that you would think there's plenty of rushing lanes for them to operate in. But teams not only know the Bills are going to pass, they don't have to sell out to stop the run. The Bills just haven't been able to get any push. You would think that if they air the ball out as much as they do, that they should be able to succeed on the ground. We just haven't seen that yet.
Marcel, I think the consensus here is, if you ask the Bills fans, 7-3 going to the bye, most people would have said yes. Most people would be pleased with Josh Allen's play. But you look now at the standings of Miami wins. Oh, my gosh. They're tied with the Buffalo Bills for first place. So looking forward, how do you assess the race for the AFC East divisional crown? And could New England perhaps sneak back into this thing?
Look, it ain't over, all right? This is and it shouldn't be that big of a surprise for people, because Miami is already a very well-coached team. They already show the ability, their coaching staff, to get this team overachieving as far as its level of talent goes. We saw that last season. Now they invested a lot of money in improving that defense. Byron Jones and Kyle Van Noy and Shaq Lawson. They spent a fifth overall pick on Tua Tagovailoa. Like, they have too much talent on both sides of the ball to continue to be a bottom feeder. I think the past few years, people have kind of grown accustomed to saying, "Oh, it's Miami." But no, they are not the Jets. They're not the Jets. They're not the Browns. They're not the Lions. One of these, you know, just habitually, perennially bottom feeding teams. This is a well coached unit on both sides of the ball. It's a smart front office. The only thing holding them back was that ramp-up period in the offseason. So that's why it was important for Buffalo to start out the way it started out and win that head-to-head game in week two, because it was just a matter of time before the Dolphins built chemistry and started to roll, and we're starting to see that now. They've got an easy stretch of games over the next 3 weeks. They can very well win all three, and all of a sudden you're looking at a neck-and-neck race for the AFC East between them and the Bills. I don't think New England's, I'm not ready to say New England's in it. You know, obviously history out here has people thinking, you know, you can't count Bill Belichick out. I'm going to count Bill Belichick out. That team is devoid of talent. And if it squeaks into the playoffs by some miracle, it's a one and done type of situation. It's just I don't see it happening. But that Week 17 game now between Buffalo and Miami, I wrote about it on Sunday. You know, you get your calendar out. You can start to you can put that red pen next to the calendar. I'm not saying circle that thing yet, but have your pen ready because that game could decide the division and could decide whether Buffalo's hosting its first home playoff game in more than 20 years.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Danger Mataglia talking some Buffalo Bills. Having a bye week this late, not necessarily ideal for the Buffalo Bills. However, when you consider that a lot of teams want to be playing their best football, obviously, in December and into the month of January, the Bills probably using this time to heal up a little bit. I want to know from you, Marcel, who we as fans should be looking at to see who might be emerging from this bye a little bit healthier, a little bit stronger, who could be returning to the lineup, because injuries have been a factor for this team all season long.
I mean, there's a big three, the top tier of guys who can emerge from the bye healthier. Starts with Matt Milano. He's still on IR for another week, so by my understanding, he is going to miss the Chargers game there in Week 12. But a week of not doing anything for a guy who has not been fully healthy all season is going to do wonders. Cody Ford had, he put in some limited practices last week. It seemed like he was close to playing. Obviously, wasn't quite there yet, but the fact that he was active and traveled means, yeah, he was close. And so this week's going to do some good for him. Dane Jackson, guy who has been thrust into some important roles this season, went down with a knee injury, was able to return, but you want to get him as healthy as possible because you're running out of reliable options there at cornerback. And John Brown as well. John Brown, a guy who's been playing hurt throughout the season. You're starting to see it kind of in the box scores. Went down again with, I believe it was an ankle injury on Sunday. You want to get him healthy because this offense is better when it can get all of its weapons on the field, and he's an important part of that. So, I mean, it's a late bye, week 11 bye. As Sean McDermott said on Monday, it's later than they're accustomed to. And it's later than they'd hoped, given, they assumed they would have a little mini bye following that Thursday night football game. But it can't be coming at a better time because these Bills are banged up right now and they've got to heal up.
Yeah, I mean, the idea what John Brown does for that offense, Marcel, and the production, we talk about Stephon Diggs, but you look at Cole Beasley's numbers. Is this the best trio of receivers in the league today?
You know, it's funny you ask because I've got a story coming out on Friday on the Bills receiver room, but forced me to do a little background research into what this unit's been able to do. Statistically, the answer to your question is yes. Bills receivers lead the NFL in receiving yards, in receptions, in receptions per game, and reception percentage, which is the number of targets that become catches. They're also second in the NFL in touchdown catches. And what makes this so impressive and so spectacular is when you look at what that unit was able to do in 2017 and 18, Bills wide receivers ranked dead last in receptions, in yards, 30th, I believe, in touchdowns. I mean, this is just a completely revamped unit. In the past 2 years, there is a common denominator as to why they're better beyond just adding Stephon Diggs, and that's what I'll let y'all wait until Friday to read that story and find out. But yeah, right, statistically, right now, the Bills have the best trio of receivers in the NFL, and it's not all about talent, because if you just look at the names on paper, it's hard to ignore the Buccaneers with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. But it's not just about the name and it's not just about the talent. It's about the scheme and how you fit players into that scheme. And for what the Bills do, this, I don't think they could have a better trio of receivers.
Marcel, it's great to hear your voice on the bye week, and we appreciate the hustle. Look forward to reading that piece on Friday at ESPN.com. Enjoy the rest of your time, and we'll do it again next week. What do you say?
Absolutely. Count me in. Good to hear from you guys as well. Hope everybody's doing well and staying safe as well.
Yeah, thanks, Marcel. Really appreciate it. And you be safe as well. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, getting us caught up. I think he brought up an interesting part about Mitch Morse.
I think back to the camp, Morris's first in Buffalo, Danger, where he did get the concussion, and it became really week after week after week, and you're wondering what's
going on. He was out for a long time, the entire training camp, essentially. Yeah. You know, like part of me thinks to myself, all right, well, veteran guys don't like training camp, so he's just going to sit out training camp, but it's a concussion, and he's got a history of them. And, you know, what's fascinating to me is it was it a coach's decision or was it the player's decision? Because a lot of times players, you have to fight to get them to not play. But maybe Morse is a guy who recognizes the bigger picture here and knows that if he keeps getting diagnosed with these concussions, that his quality of life post-NFL career isn't going to be gravy. I mean, he needs to take care of himself. I think Sean McDermott would probably, the human side of me believes that Sean McDermott would agree and you know, take every precaution necessary. That just because you clear concussion protocol doesn't necessarily mean you're fit to play. And man, that would make the most sense, because anything short of that, and Sean McDermott probably doesn't want to come right out and say in a press conference, yeah, we held him out because we didn't want him to injure himself or get another concussion, or he didn't heal completely, or he wasn't right. So I get it. That makes sense. That would check out a little bit for me.
Yeah, it just, you think clear from concussion protocol, you're good to go, but maybe that wasn't the case. But I think the way McDermott kind of answered the question was a little clumsy, and that's where we are here. But good to talk to Marcel. We've got other NFL news and notes coming up here.
Yeah, I tell you what, we got a story out of the Giants. It depends what you want to believe. Reports being conflicted, but one thing is for sure, the Giants fired their offensive line coach today in the middle of the season. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more clarity on some quarterback situations, injuries with Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, and we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL and now their decision to operate the rest of the season under the intensive COVID protocol. That's all coming up when NFL appetizers, news and notes from around the league. Next, it's brought to you today by Market View Liquor. With the holidays approaching, Market View Liquor can help anyone buy wine like an expert. See hundreds of wines at the all-new MarketViewLiquor.com. Description, rating, and price included. Choose Drizzly home delivery, curbside pickup, or shop safe at Market View Liquor, Jefferson Road in Henrietta.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports.
Kidding.
College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.